Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Whichever it is for you, here's the Morning Scramble
with Claire and Eric,
a Z102.9 podcast.
Enjoy.
Does your home or office have a scram plan?
Scram to it.
Isn't this that time of year, right? It's Fire Safety Prevention Month or whatever.
Yeah, you know what? My kids haven't said anything about a fire drill yet.
When are you going to meet at the tree?
Yeah.
Is that what you had growing up?
How's it all work?
Where was your meeting point? Do you remember?
It was the mailbox.
Okay.
It's always the mailbox. That's what I've told my kids at our house too. Although I think that you'd have to get further. I feel like our driveway isn't that long.
We had a longer driveway. We had a big pine tree at the end. So the plan was to meet at the pine tree.
Oh.
I'm also of the era when they started handing out those stickers that you put on the windows so the fire department knew which ones had kids in the room.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of a reflective foil sticker. So as they're like searching the house on the outside, like, which room has the kid in it? Oh, thank God there's a sticker on the window.
I never had one of those.
Oh, no, they would have let you stay at the house.
I also, my parents, like, they moved and my room was then in the basement at my teenage insistence.
Sure. But why not?
But they would have never found me. Ever.
Was that a legal bedroom? Like, did you have an out?
At the time.
Or was like, I gotta hope she fits through that tiny basement window.
Hope she fits through that tiny basement window. I mean, there was a door, but.
Well, to the upstairs? Are you actually. You lived in a walkout?
Yeah.
Your bedroom was.
My bedroom was in a walkout, but the.
But
there was
the
a room.
The basement was?
Yeah.
How many times did you break curfew?
All never. Never, not once.
They're not up.
Okay. A couple of times, I would tell my mom that I woke you up and I was home on time. But you must have gone back to sleep and didn't
you
remember.
You must have been sleeping so hard.
I broke curfew a couple times, but not like bad. Not like I had to sneak in.
You didn't like spend the night somewhere else and come in at 4 in the morning.
No.
I don't know if I believe you.
Not when I was under. I would maybe be like 20 minutes late. I would maybe be a half an hour late, but nothing bad.
You cannot be punished. From this, you're an adult woman.
I'm aware.
Okay.
That is my moral compass.
You're carrying this burden.
I could not do that. I can't be that late. I've missed the moment. But I haven't been hours late.
Sure.
I haven't snuck in. I didn't do anything like that.
All right.
No. And, you know, after a while, you build up that trust and they're like, she ain't gonna do it. And
that's
she
true.
Didn't.
They wouldn't have minded.
They wouldn't have minded after a while.
No, they're like, she's trustworthy. I had the same setup. It was, you don't really have one, just wake me up.
Yes,
exactly. I want to just make sure you're home.
Yes.
And this is the, you know, we couldn't be tracked back then because we didn't have microchips, you know, in our pocket.
Exactly.
Right?
And it happened one time when I really did wake up my parents, but neither one of them remembered me coming home. So then the next time I was actually a little bit late, I was like, yeah, no, I totally woke you up.
I got good at also leaving a note that I would back timestamp. It's like, hey, got in at this, make sure I'm up by whatever. I got a thing today. That worked out pretty well.
You then used them as
I
your
falsified
alarm.
Evidence.
You falsified evidence and then asked for a favor. Hey, wake me up. Okay?
Hey, the kid who came in late needs to be up early. Can you please wake me?
You are living that lifestyle, man.
That was our communication system. There wasn't texting. You'd leave a post-it note.
Notes.
On the cabinet that held the plate, the dishes. We would just have a post-it pad right there. And you would just leave notes for the next person in.
Like if
mom and dad, like, hey, we're out tonight, food in the fridge. Right? It used to be, I guess people still do that on the fridge, but
yeah.
It's so easy now just to text it to people.
Exactly.
But nope.
It might
all
be,
of these very easy ways we used to live.
Might be a lost art.
Yeah.
When the kids were a lot littler, I would leave notes and stuff in the morning.
Sure.
Like, didn't just, you know, make sure you grab your lunch and don't forget your backpack. And I
sign that might
sheet.
Be at work, but I can still mom you.
Yes, yes. Just
that'll
leave a
show
note.
Them. Well, I hope everybody's scram plan is in action because we are ready to take on a Thursday.
And did you have... You know, your Crayola crayons
mm-hmm.
at school, was there one that was like, got a little bit more use than others?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Any of the primary colors, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're looking at the big box of 32 or 64, there's a whole section that doesn't get any use. Like, white?
Totally.
Who's using white?
What was the point of that one?
Right.
We did one black cat thing, and I'm like, oh, that's what you use it for.
That was about it. But, yeah, usually, like, trees, right? Green and brown.
Yes.
Or yellow. You're making a tree and a house and a sun.
But did you have a favorite color in the pack?
In the Crayola world?
Yeah.
I probably was leaning blue back in the day, I'm guessing.
You?
Yeah.
Like many, many people across the world, actually, agree. The most popular color, and this is according to Crayola, the most popular crayon is cerulean.
Oh, just say blue, Crayola.
It's cerulean blue, followed by robin's egg blue.
See, Claire, you're giving me colors that I didn't have back then.
Really?
We just had blue or midnight blue. I never had cerulean blue, ever.
Cerulean blue?
Yeah.
I don't remember it saying.
I had seafoam.
Because I wouldn't know that word.
No, you wouldn't. When they started adding things like mac and cheese, that's kind of when I got out of the old Crayola age anyway. So this must be a more modern question.
It's all like blues and purples, though. It's cerulean blue, robin's egg blue, and then wisteria purple.
Is this among children or adults?
This is the official Crayola name.
Okay.
So the kids are just calling it blue and purple.
Right. But I'm telling you, as I stand here, my label never said that.
I know. It was
didn't.
Just blue.
It's blue.
Purple.
Right.
Yellow.
Is that the formula?
Red. Well, they get all those bigger packs now, you know, instead of the 12-pack, now you have like 64.
You're beyond 64, 72. Probably. 72 crayons.
Yeah. All the crayon colors. And they got a little experimental. But the number one favorite is cerulean.
So if you're making a picture, is the sky takes up more space on the paper, thus you're coloring with blue more?
Maybe.
That's my best guess. Or the ocean?
I always like to do this thing where I would just take a pencil and I would just kind of scribble a thing, and then I'd try to put different colors in each of the little pockets that I'd created.
You made your own coloring book?
Yeah.
That's awesome. I like that.
It's my own little doodle. But then I do all my favorite colors.
Yeah.
Cerulean, probably.
Was that among it?
It was amongst the favorites.
Eggplant?
But I didn't call it that.
Nobody did.
Nobody
or
did.
Does.
They just call it blue.
Blue.
Lay it all out there.
Brace yourself.
What's on your mind?
It's mind-blowing, isn't it?
Time for some brain show and tell.
What's on your mind?
I think it came up in conversation yesterday. We are in the early stages of car shopping.
Very early.
Very early.
Okay.
Major purchases, I take a very long time. And I think that's the right approach.
Yeah.
The question yesterday was, do you buy the car or do you buy the color? And that actually prompted some fun conversation at lunch yesterday. That kind of came up around the building.
Yeah.
It went from early stages to we took a step forward because we now have been contacted by a salesperson.
How does that happen? How do they know that you're interested in shopping?
I also asked for some information. Thus, I am now...
Okay.
I'm red meat.
You exposed yourself.
But the way you buy cars now, I mean, talk about the future. I feel like the customer is in control of this entire process now. Didn't used to be that way. If you wanted to look at a car, you had to go to the lot.
Uh-huh.
And you had to look at the car. You maybe saw an advertisement on television or you read a magazine article. Mm-hmm. I have the internet at my disposal.
You can look anywhere.
I also... am now just, it's by text. The guy's like, hi, I'm so-and-so. I heard you were looking, which I knew we had already made contact. I'm like, yeah. It's like, what are you after? This, new or used? Don't know. Never driven one of these before. My brother has one and I want a hybrid. I need cargo capacity and a hybrid. Everything else, we'll talk about when I.
Sure. I'm flexible.
But I'm controlling already the inventory they're going to show me. I feel like I have the power right now. Is this a false sense of security?
You feel powerful.
A little powerful.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
By the way, this entire conversation is within 2 minutes of me announcing the Liberty Marching Band last night.
Busy.
I'm checking my phone. I'm looking at the script. I'm watching the band because we did it outside in North Liberty last night. Coming from the school, they're getting ready to line up on the field. Bzz. Hey, it's so-and-so from this dealership.
It is nice.
I hear you're looking. Bzz, like, yeah, great. I sent you an email. Could I do it? We've got some time next Thursday for a test drive. Bzz, what? Like, I don't know. Give me some options.
It's a lot more convenient when you can just have a conversation that way instead of...
The pressure's gone for now. Now, I know what's going to happen next. And I look forward to negotiation. It's my favorite part.
Ugh, I hate that.
But I don't... There's two rounds of negotiation. There's the price negotiation. That's where I'm like... let's play.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's we sit you in a room and try to make you buy crap.
Uh-huh.
I hate that.
Yeah.
And I think in the negotiation process, I'm going to say that we don't go to that room.
In the price negotiation?
In the price negotiation, if you want me to walk right now, then put me in that room. But I will buy this car. We are going to skip where you try to sell me add-ons.
Mm-hmm.
That's not happening. I'll sign the title. I know I need to do a lot of paperwork, but that's the one part that I don't like.
Because I don't know, was it last summer or something?
When you got your new car.
I don't remember that. It wasn't like a thing.
Good for the area car dealers. Maybe it's an industry. It's like, that's what people don't like about it.
Mm-hmm.
They get it. Yeah. So everything right now so far has been by text.
That's nice.
In this new future I live in where I'm trying to buy a car. Crazy.
It's crazy.
I mean, could I get to the point where, like, I'll take that one, I never see the guy, and it just shows up at my house?
It's to the point where you can just order it online.
That's what Carvana does.
Yeah, exactly.
It's crazy.
It's easy.
Yeah.
It's so simple.
Well, I'm in the future of car buying.
Yeah, in the future.
Yes.
As it so often happens, dudes have to do maintenance, you know? It doesn't look like my husband needs a haircut, but he's like, oh, no, I can feel it. It's tickling my ears. And
I get it. When it's in the food zone on the beard.
Yeah.
And I know I don't have a lot of hair, but I still can grow a little hair.
Right.
If I'm working out and I'm like, God, my head just feels warmer.
Uh-huh.
It's because there's more hair up there.
Exactly.
I actually see it near my ears, then I know I need a haircut.
You're a little more sensitive, I feel,
yes,
than when I need to get... just
is yours more
trim.
Just for a look, like it just doesn't look right?
Yeah. Right now it's more like, oh, my roots need touch up.
Yeah.
That's how I know. But, you know, don't look. You're not supposed to comment on hair.
I didn't make a word.
That's your
policy.
I didn't
make a word. I did get on my tiptoes and I.
I'll bend down. I'm fine right now. I'm okay right now. But my husband was going crazy. Last weekend was probably when he needed to get a haircut.
Yeah.
But we were gone. We were
in Minneapolis.
A trip. So he did not. He pushed it back. So finally we get back in town and stuff, and he gets to his haircut. And I don't know exactly where he went, but it was a place where there's multiple chairs and there's multiple people working.
Yeah.
And one of the people cutting hair had that childcare situation creep up. And so kid at work with her.
Oh, and no, really?
No, but it was great because he was wonderful. He was going through. He was sweeping up hair and stuff. And then he was getting the door for people as they were leaving.
I love this.
It's so nice. As they're leaving, though, he opens the door for my husband and he goes, right this way, sir. Good luck in the Army.
What? In the Army?
In the Army. He got a haircut and it's a tight one.
High and tight?
High and tight. He's like, I didn't think about it when I was sitting in the chair and I'm just looking at it. And then the kid makes that comment and I get to my car and I'm like, what is it?
Did he go flat top and then buzz the sides?
No, the sides are just, they are shorn. He's got a little bit more on top. It's not a flat top or anything, but it is neat as a pin. He is neat as a pin.
Do I need to start calling him Corporal? Or Dallas? I don't know.
We should come up with a great little nickname for him just to make him feel...
Sarge?
Yes! Oh, I like Sarge.
Sarge?
Sarge is pretty good.
All right.
But I'm like, now that he says that, like, I see it. I see it, kid. Way to go, Sarge.
Sarge.
Time for The Buzz with Danson Eric Hansen on Z102.9.
The Cedar Rapids Fire Department on the scene of a carbon monoxide call in an area apartment building last night. Crews dispatched to the 200 block of First Avenue West about 10:15 last night. Varying levels of carbon monoxide discovered on all floors of the apartment building, so they had to evacuate.
Oh,
they brought in high power fans to ventilate the stairs, hallways, and each apartment. All residents were allowed to return to their apartments. No illnesses were reported. State Auditor's Office has a busy caseload ahead. They've recently been asked by the Des Moines School Board to re-audit the district in light of the arrest of the former superintendent, Ian Roberts. Now, SAN's office will also investigate the Iowa Board of Educational Examiners who gave him his superintendent certificate. They want to understand what steps did we go through? Did we miss anything? Roberts, by the way, set to go on trial coming up on December the 1st. What's got us feeling all right today? A pioneer in late night television. So basically the guy that Letterman, Leno, Kimmel, Conan, and Fallon should thank would have turned 100 today. Johnny Carson is an Iowa native.
I didn't know
that. Did you know that?
No.
Was born in Corning, Iowa. That's his birth home is still a tourist attraction to this day. His family actually moved around. So he lived in four Iowa towns, kind of ages 3 to 5, and then they finally settled in Norfolk, Nebraska. So both Corning and Norfolk will be having Johnny Carson celebrations of some sort today.
That's awesome.
And we owe all of that to the fact he's from Iowa and that concept of the way he did his late night show. I mean, that is how Leno took
Everybody
it over.
Everybody does it that
and
way.
And then
yeah.
It's technically now that show is under Fallon because mm-hmm. it's always been an NBC
Conan,
show.
And then Leno back again.
Right.
And then
yes, a little back and forth. But Letterman was supposed to get the job when Carson retired, and that was a whole big scuttlebutt, too. But all of that thanks to kid who grew up on an Iowa farm.
Huh.
So happy 100th birthday to Johnny Carson. Got us feeling all right.
And now, a pop culture update we'd like to call Z's Sleaze with Claire.
Matthew McConaughey involved in a iconic moment in Z's Sleaze history. Back in the late 90s, maybe early aughts, he was naked in his home playing bongos, and the police showed up because they had a complaint about the noise, and they could not believe that Matthew McConaughey was naked playing bongos.
Is that how he came to the door? I wouldn't put it past him.
Well, it is an infamous incident, and Matthew and his wife Camilla decided to kind of immortalize the incident. They've got a company. It's called Pantalones Organic Tequila.
It's named for pants.
Well, yes. Pants. Pantsless. They are celebrating with a dramatic reading of the police report from the incident, complete with the actual guy who voices the intros to Law and Order.
That's great.
It's great. At the end of the ad, Camilla can also be heard saying, "Why can I see this so clearly?" And Matthew replies, "Because it's happened about 45 times since." He's not been shy about the incident. He's talked about it. He actually opened up about it in his memoir, Green Lights. And in his point of view, he just celebrated Texas Longhorns football game and then spent the entire weekend partying. This all went down on a Monday night. He was just trying to unwind, relax a little bit.
The football game was probably on Saturday.
Yeah, you're right, man. He had a weekend.
Whoa.
Monday night, wee hours of the morning, he decides to wind down. A little bit of Mary
Herb.
Jane, and some bongo music. And then he gets so inspired listening to bongo music, he opens up his windows to smell the flowers from his garden and decides to add to the music with his own bongo drum solo. Two police officers from Austin barged into his house unannounced and wrestled him to the ground. They had nightsticks. They had handcuffs. They pinned him to the floor. He was charged with resisting arrest.
Did they think he was an intruder?
They didn't know what was going on. It was just very loud. They'd had noise complaints. I don't know why they didn't ring the doorbell.
You have to announce your presence, do you not?
Exactly.
Although maybe a doorbell under the sound of bongo drumming you can't hear.
Maybe that's the problem. But he was charged with resisting arrest, but all those charges got dropped because he's like, "You came into my house."
No kidding. Nowhere in your story does it say why he got naked.
Why was he naked? You know what?
Mm.
It felt right in the moment. To Matthew McConaughey, it felt right in the moment. There is a Apple TV 5-part Martin Scorsese documentary series called Mr. Scorsese. And, you know, when you have a career like his, there's a lot of people who want to be a part of this. But one person who didn't want to be a part of it, Joe Pesci. He was the only person who said, "No, I don't want to be involved."
Do we know why?
Well, he's got his reasons. A lot of times, you know, he'll play somebody who's maybe not above the law.
He plays gangsters all the time.
You think of the Raging Bull, the Irishman, Casino, Goodfellas.
Seems a little sanitized from the version I recall.
It is.
Yes, thank you.
It is a sanitized version. The reason he was so good at playing those characters is because he actually grew up with those kinds of real life characters in Newark, New Jersey.
I've heard this before.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And he doesn't want to talk about those experiences that make him so perfect for all of these roles. Bringing it up might make people unhappy, you know, and he doesn't want that to blow back on him.
So he's protecting himself.
Yeah. Best thing he can do, just keep a tight lip.
I guess so. Snitches get stitches, Claire.
Exactly.
He doesn't want to swim with the fishes.
Nobody likes a rat. Michael Keaton, also great actor, and he was recognized by his hometown. His hometown of Pittsburgh has their own Pittsburgh Walk of Fame.
Oh, that's cool.
And he got a star on the Pittsburgh Walk of Fame, which he should, right? Guy's Batman. Only problem, his name misspelled on the plaque.
Michael or Keaton?
Michael.
Did they A and the E in the wrong spot?
Exactly what happened. Exactly
Mikhail?
What happened. Mikhail Keaton.
Or Mitchell.
The executive director apologized and I'm so sorry that this happened. He is so gracious when he was here. He is so expressive for his love of Pittsburgh and the people here. I can only hope that he shows some grace and forgives me for this faux pas. The plaque, the star is fine, but the plaque that goes with the star explaining why that person's famous is the one that's misspelled.
So that's at least cheaper to reproduce.
Exactly.
Right.
That's the good thing too. Michael Keaton said that there's, in his acceptance speech, there's nothing like being recognized by your hometown because it's actually the place that made you who you are. And he hopes that when kids in Pittsburgh walk by the star, look down and see these famous people from Pittsburgh, they just think about what's possible.
That's very inspiring.
It is inspiring and very classy, even though, you know, my name is misspelled. It's okay.
Could have gone all Michael, you know, Beetlejuice on him if he wanted to.
Exactly.
He plays that crazed character really well.
But he's classy. That's what we like to call
Z's Sleaze.
We have been dabbling in all manner of
areas, corners we shouldn't be dabbling
places
in.
We shouldn't be, as I am currently hugging myself all October long. We've been looking into stories of the paranormal.
Yeah.
And we've got our own investigative team, Jaden at Night and producer Ben, who have bravely been going out and looking into places. Eric, you and I don't really want to check out.
I'm not going there.
I don't want to be there.
Not even on a double dog dare you dare. No, this is not my scene. While I consider myself a big skeptic of it all, I also don't want to mess with something that could be real.
Yeah.
And then it follows you home. I don't like that idea.
But these brave souls.
Stay away from it.
Having to care. Jaden at Night, producer Ben. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning. When we started this, Jaden at Night, it was more because you just seem to have a gift.
Yeah.
And you are not only drawn to it because you like the concept of the scary and the supernatural, mm-hmm. it speaks to you.
Mm-hmm. Literally.
Producer Ben going in really is a true skeptic as well. And I would say through the last 3 weeks, you have kind of evolved. Is that fair?
I feel like I've heard some things.
Yeah. You've had experiences that yes. just lead you to believe that maybe there's something to this. Now, you're not as sensitive. Jaden, we call it the shine because we don't know exactly what it is, but you are sensitive to these
yeah.
spirits. You have seen things. Like as a kid, you probably had an imaginary friend, but maybe they weren't so imaginary.
Yeah, no, I've had a lot of weird instances in my life from anything from, you know, talking to people that weren't there to going to the Zach Bagans Museum in Las Vegas and blacking out.
Like losing time.
Yeah, losing time. I don't remember what happened there.
Well, and I think back to what you experienced at Heart of Darkness in
yes.
Waterloo. That sounded like that moment was almost going to recreate itself. You mm-hmm. had to get out of a mm-hmm. bus, which they say themselves was the most haunted they have experienced since they've investigated it.
It almost seems like you have something to your person that calls to maybe spirits, spirit
yes,
friends.
Definitely my empath.
Yes.
Too much of an empath.
Well, the other thing I noticed over the course of these three or four investigations is you guys have actually turned into more investigators.
Mm-hmm.
I think more it was just to document, to diary what was going on. Now you have the equipment, which I love where we are sending you coming up this weekend. Among the many places we were told, Edinburgh Manor was big on that list. And where we're about ready to unveil, this also was quite popular as a suggestion.
I was wondering, are you still taking submissions for your the place to send producer Ben to spooky places?
Yeah, what do you got?
Well, I have got a story, and I'm on the lines of producer Ben where I'm a skeptic, but it was proven to me, and this place is called 13 Steps outside of Palo, Iowa.
That caller's name is Dave. Dave did not want to tell me the story. Dave sent me the story.
Oh, my goodness.
This
oh,
is
wow.
a two-page.
Dave sent you a book.
10-paragraph story about when he visited 30 years ago with a high school friend in their manual transmission car. And the crux of the story basically is the moment he stepped foot on the steps, things got very eerie and felt weird. There's supposedly a witch's grave way in the back corner of the cemetery. When they came back down the stairs, his car was not only moved. And
moved.
The first thought was like, I didn't set the brake because it was a manual. So yeah. it just rolled. It appeared it had been lifted and set down somewhere else to the point they had to go get it towed. And from that moment on, he has been a believer. Like some force manipulated time, space, and matter and moved his car.
That's intense.
That's intense. We also have stories of there's 12 steps, except at night there's 13 steps.
Yeah.
People hearing wind, people hearing sound, fog appearing when there's no fog.
Ghostly voices.
Yes.
There's a lot of different things that people allege happen at this location. And Z-Files team?
I'm ready.
We'd love for you to investigate.
Pleasant Ridge Cemetery in Palo, known as the location of 13 steps. You had such an interesting interaction at the cemetery outside of Edinburgh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm quite looking forward to what we're going to discover there. When you walk into places like this, do you just kind of let the place tell you how to explore it? Do you guys have a plan? Or now that we've unveiled it to you, will you just kind of figure that out when you get there?
I feel like we just kind of use instinct and we see what there
works.
Is and we kind of just go there and...
You get a feel for it. I know there's a lot, like, cemeteries. Sometimes I try to...
Do you do, like, a sweep? Like,
I try to be as, like, I don't even know what the word is, just as respectful as possible when we go into cemeteries. You know, I just trying to see which one kind of speaks to us. Like, oh, got some weird vibes from over here. That one, you know, is giving me weird vibes to kind of go towards that one.
One's drawing you, one's maybe sending you away.
Yes.
And it could be like, it's sending me away, but I think I'm okay to walk to it. Others could be like, don't go. Kind of like the basement
at
Edinburgh.
It's like a real life meter reader thing.
Exactly.
Like, you know, spirit meter.
Is this place open 24 hours?
No, I think you're going to have to go at dusk so that you could at least get in and get out before they close the gate. I don't want you guys trapped there.
Something about cemeteries at night is always really creepy.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Do your best, but of course, we got to play by the rules, right? We don't want you breaking and entering.
Okay, so I looked, and nightfall this Saturday night would be 6:38. So as long as you're done by 7, you should get that kind of the 13-step emerges moment.
Get in there.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit before 5 and get out by 7 o'clock, and you're good to go. 13 steps, the Pleasant Ridge Cemetery in Palo, Iowa. We can't wait to hear the investigation, the research you guys are doing, what you're going to be investigating, and we'll get the full report and what did they discover coming up Monday morning. It's another episode of the Z-Files, right? The Z-Files on Z102.9.
Claire and Eric can't agree.
All right.
So it's up to you. It's Jury in a Hurry on Z102.9.
I think one's an argument today. I think one's a confession.
Yeah, my arguments are more of a like a post-it. I got just a couple of notes to self.
Okay, here's what happened.
The only piece of evidence that we have in court today.
I don't even remember when this conversation came up on the air, but because we record everything and we index everything, you just never know when topics will resurface. And this is the conversation that went down. I think it actually started, you had chipped a nail.
It was me. I had chipped a nail. It was my thumbnail. And it was really bothering me. And I was complaining that it was going to be affecting my everyday life, things like texting.
And that's when I said, no, I blurted out this. That's how I text. That's how I explained it that morning. And I'm going to now demonstrate to you how I do this. And to me, this is the most natural feeling way I know. If you have my thumbs left and right ready to type, like I'm typing on a typewriter, my left thumb feels like it's a foreign object. It doesn't even feel like it's supposed to be there. It's just like, chop it off. I don't want it. The left hand positions the phone. It is the stabilizer. It makes it steady. And then all I do is use my right thumb in all of its glory to type away what I need, be it emojis, words, phrases, and it fits. I can reach all the letters. I think it's clean and efficient, and it's how I have always done it. And I have to guess that started probably with the old keypad phones.
Keypad phone,
where you had to triple click a number to get a letter out of it. So I'm a one thumber, and I just have to believe I am not a unicorn. Other one thumbers exist, and here we are, friends. You need to be on my side this morning and let the world know one thumb texting is okay.
I think that you're wrong there, friendo. Same point that I think I made the first time we had this conversation. One thumb just seems like you're going to strain or pull a muscle in your hand. And why risk injury when you've got two thumbs? You can two thumb text. I think I understand in back in olden times when phones didn't have a full keyboard and you had to just use the numerical system
yes.
and punch the keys a bunch of time. That makes sense. But you have a full keyboard. And as I learned with my typing program in high school, Mavis Beacon taught me that you're supposed to use two hands to text. So therefore, you should use two thumbs when you're using your phone.
You give me a regular keyboard and I am a two-handed typing whiz.
Thank you.
My words per minute are fantastic. But on the phone keypad, the flat screen, I am only comfortable using my right overly strong now thumb.
Okay.
You got I work it so much.
You gotta let Lefty play sometimes.
I do feel like Lefty's a little weak. I will tell you that.
Poor left thumb never gets to send a single message.
Playing piano? Both hands.
Both
Saxophone,
hands.
Both hands. Dealing cards, I actually deal left-handed.
Oh, my gosh.
But when it comes to texting, left hand stabilize, lock thumb in base, right thumb is the way I type and deliver the message. I rest my case.
Two thumbs are much more efficient. You have them. Use them. I rest my case. Clearly, we don't agree on how we approach texting. Are you a one-thumber or are you a two-thumber? Who's normal? Who's a weirdo? We'll let you decide.
Who's going to win their case today? Claire or Eric? Jury in a hurry on Z102.9.
Okay, let's see if I even get a vote, Claire.
Let's go.
Jury in a hurry. Texting. One thumb or two?
I'm with one thumb, Eric.
What? Oh,
out of the gate.
Another one thumber. You weirdos are out there. Look at you finding each other. I'm giving her one thumb up. Hi, caller. It is our question for Jury in a Hurry. Do you text with one thumb or two?
You're not alone. I'm a one-thumber.
Claire,
oh, my gosh. They're
two.
Coming out of the woodwork.
Out of the gate. Jury in a Hurry texting one thumb or two, caller.
One thumb.
One thumb. Oh, my God.
I think I'm a one-thumber.
Jury in a Hurry, do you text with one thumb or two, please?
One.
One? Claire, are you, can
Who
you believe what's happening
people?
Here?
Two thumbs. Where are my two thumbers at?
Hi, it's Jury in a Hurry. Texting, one thumb or two?
Two.
Thank okay. you. Okay. I thought I was getting
Even
really
I
weird
was to... worried there were too many one thumbers.
Exactly.
That was crazy.
Even I was worried.
Jury in a Hurry, do you text with one thumb or two?
One thumb, and you should try something called swiping.
I do swipe every once in a while, where you just kind of glide across the letters
no,
and it makes the word.
I don't trust it. Two thumbs.
5-1 right
what
now.
What is happening?
Okay, we continue with our phone calls. Let's talk to this caller. Hi, it is Jury in a Hurry. When it comes to texting, one thumb or two?
One thumb.
One
Claire,
thumb?
What
Seriously?
Is happening?
I thought legit, you were a unicorn.
I woke up this morning hoping for one vote. And I hoped it was a family member who was sympathizing with me. I am currently sitting at 6. I need one
Come
vote to win.
Come on. Where are the normal two-thumb texters?
Jury in a Hurry, do you text with one thumb or two?
You know, it must be an Eric thing. I've got a strong right thumb. I'm a one-hand texter.
Oh, my God. What? I found 7 people.
Wait, and are you also an Eric?
Is your name Eric?
Yes.
Yes! So
That's
weird!
Right.
It's probably just an Eric problem. All those people
well,
were Eric.
All Erics and Erica's called in. I'll take 7. I just won a case I expected to lose.
I expected you to lose as well.
It's the Morning Scramble with Claire and Eric, your friends and neighbors. Z102.9.
Look, I get it. Halloween is almost here and you don't want to spend a lot of time and a lot of money coming up with the perfect costume.
That's where I come in.
Welcome to Dancin' Eric Hansen's Minimalist Costumes. Just mix and match a few items to create one unforgettable costume
that you'll probably wear for just a few hours and spill on anyway.
Robe and some Crocs. You're Jesus.
Just a bra and a couple shakers of cinnamon and clove. Spice rack.
Hold this one piece of corn. Unicorn. At Dancin' Eric Hansen's Minimalist Costumes, we make it easy. A simple black and white striped shirt. You're a mime. You're a prisoner.
Put your head through the armhole. You're a zebra.
Put a traffic cone on your head. Wear an orange shirt. You're a Crayola crayon. Mouse ears and some small bottles of booze.
Mini bar.
I got a million of them. Get on down here. Dancin' Eric Hansen's Minimalist Costumes.
Luckily, we don't need a lot of space.
You'll find me in the lower level unisex bathroom at Lindale Mall that no one ever uses. Sorry, occupied.
Thank you for listening to the Morning Scramble podcast.
Catch Claire and Eric live weekday mornings, 6 until 10 Central Time on Z102.9. Listen on your radio, on your smart speaker, or stream at KZIA.com.
Okay, have a good day.